Hello and welcome to Keep On Cybertruckin', a podcast where Cybertruck owners share their experiences, talk about all EVs and technology. We don't have Will tonight. He's studying for a test, so hopefully tomorrow Will ace that test. Wishing you good luck with that. But Chase is here. I'm here. Also wanted to just let everybody know we're going to try to keep this podcast a little short just because I have a meeting I need to go to. That's in about an hour. But Chase, how's it going, man?
Well, nothing too crazy this week. We didn't get stuck in any blizzards, so that's a positive. We actually, funny enough, we actually dropped off the Rivian today because it's going to be rented out this weekend.
Oh, really?
Which is something that we were toying with the idea of, like, I don't know, we could do it, but it's like we could take it in a different route of like, okay, we don't have to rent it out, but if it's like, if an opportunity comes along and someone wants to rent it and then we don't need it for the weekend, then I think it kind of works out in that regard. So working with the same business partner that I did with the Cybertruck, and he's got it listed up, you know, for rent via, you know, his business as well as I think on his Turo as well.
Okay. I was going to ask that. So you don't have it on your Turo?
Correct. Yeah. So it's okay. On his Turo account.
Because he's more of like an exotics vehicle, probably to the higher end clients. He probably vets them a little bit better, and you don't 100%. Need to worry as much. Oh, that's awesome.
So we have one guy that's renting it today. He's taking it out to a Spurs game, San Antonio, and that's cool. And then the rest of the weekend is another Turo renter that actually is interested in the Rivian as well. I do the same thing. You know, if you really want to get into it, might as well test drive it for a few days to see if you like it, which... it's probably a good segue because I don't know if you saw the news. I'll try to pull it up. The idea of a 48-hour test drive is fairly new.
No, I haven't seen that.
I'll see if I can find it because I think someone on X had mentioned it.
For the Cybertruck?
For Tesla in general.
Okay.
Someone mentioned it. Yeah, the Model 3 2 days ago in Model 3 Reddit thread where someone got an email that basically said, you know, thank you for your interest. We're inviting you for select customers to do a 48-hour demo drive, which I think is great. Like, I think just driving around the block really doesn't give you the feel of what it
not
is
at all.
To usually have it. You really need to, like, you know, load up all your kids into it, unload it, really kind of figure those ins and outs that, you know, really would make a lot of sense. And that's always where Turo really has kind of had the curve in the market, because you could do that from Tesla. But if they open up this possibility of doing longer term demo drives, I think that's going to be a huge win for them.
I find it funny that, or not funny, but interesting that it says we are inviting select customers to experience a 48-hour demo drive. I wonder how they select those select customers. That'd be interesting to find out how that all works out. Don't know if maybe it's somebody that has shown interest in the past and just hasn't pulled the trigger, and, you know, they go, well, let's try to entice them by giving them a 48-hour demo drive. That'd be...
yeah. Plus, it would have to be for only vehicles in their fleet that they have already as loaners. You know, like, we haven't seen anybody get, like, a Tesla Cybertruck for a loaner yet. Otherwise, this could be an option for Cybertrucks, too.
But... okay, let me ask you a question. Since you're in a totally different state than me, how are the loners out in Texas? And everybody who's watching, if you want to go and leave a comment, whether you're here live and you want to leave a comment, or after I post this, you leave a comment, I'd be very interested to see where other people in the country, how their loners come as far as from Tesla, because this is what I'm going to say. My loners are always dirty. They're filthy. I mean, I had a Model S recently, and the yoke, the steering wheel, the leather on it was just peeling off. It was a mess. And I don't know if it's just here in Southern California. I don't know if it's just my service center. I don't know. But
maybe more common. But I'd be curious to see about the climate, because Texas, we have a kind of a similar climate. Like, it's dry and it's mostly sunny year round. But I'd be curious to see, like, up north and northeast, northwest, how those cars are faring. The one that I drove, I definitely think you could describe it as road hard, put away wet. It definitely was not like pristine. Like, they just got it detailed, but it looks like they maybe detail it like once a month or once every other month. because it definitely gets a lot of use out of it.
It's okay.
It turns out my nephews spotted a Cybertruck tonight and they went all crazy about it.
Really? Okay, there we go. We're live now. We're visible to the masses. Title is a little off because I just was in a rush, but it's I could see me. So I could see you. Hopefully everybody gets back in here. There's a few people in. So what were we talking about?
48 hours.
The demo drivers. And then we were talking about cleanliness of the loaner vehicles that Tesla gives you. So, yeah, I hope they don't give you the loaners because that wouldn't be a great first impression to people to say, hey, we want you to, you know, be wowed by our Model 3 or Model S, whatever the case is. And here you go. Take this dirty car and take it for a weekend and have fun because that's not gonna do much for anybody. So, but I mean, I like the idea that they're offering something more than just, you know, take it for 20 minutes and come back.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's, if you're going to get any kind of use out of it, and that's the same thing I did before I even got into a Tesla, is I drove it from Austin to Kansas City and I really kind of wear through the vehicle than see it on a road trip. Especially because that was like, 2018, around that time frame where like, Tesla was still getting more and more traction, but the biggest conversation was always about the supercharging network. It's like, oh, but like, how far does it go? And it's it's just funny that even 6 years later, we still hear the same gotchas. They're like, well, how far does it go, and how long does it take to charge?
It's like 100%. Okay. I get that all the time, and that's actually a great segue because one thing that we wanted to talk about was how Tesla has officially. Let me see if I could find it. Real quick, they've officially, I guess, announced, maybe is the right word, that officially unlocking, deploying, however you want to say it, the V4 cabinets and that increase in charging speed, which the Cybertruck can fully take advantage of. And given the fact that the Cybertruck's battery is so large, it's really, really needed. I get like what you're saying. I get that question a lot. And the question is, how long does it take you to charge? How long, how many miles can you go? That's the first question. And then when I tell them, they go, oh, okay, that's not that bad. How long does it take you to charge? And, you know, I'll tell them if I'm at home, it takes a few hours, you know, if I'm, and it all depends on how low I am and how high I want the charge to go. If I'm at a supercharger, you know, it's a lot faster. And then the next thing they ask is, well, how fast? You know, because everybody wants to compare it to, you know, like putting gas. And so they'll go, how fast does it charge? And I'll tell them, you know, it could take like 45 minutes, you know, maybe an hour. And sometimes people go, wow, that's a long time, which it is a long time. But, you know, it's one of those things where I tell them that the battery pack is so large that it's obviously going to take a long time to fill that thing up. And, you know, that's where, you know, this increase in speed is going to really help because it just takes, you know, in my opinion, it takes too long to charge. And I get why it does, but it just... I would like that to be a little bit quicker. So hopefully we can get that time to, you know, 30 minutes or so.
Yeah. And I think if you're looking at the, you know, the chart comparing all the EV trucks right now, this definitely unlocks a couple of pegs up on the Cybertruck's case. Cause if it can charge even faster than all the other trucks, that's a big thing. And it's something that I had known and kind of had talked about really early on when we had a Turo renter that they work for a company that builds superchargers that are not Tesla superchargers, but an off brand. And he was saying the same thing that, you know, it could hold and take more power than what they were getting from the Tesla superchargers. So it was just a matter of time that they would unlock it. He was saying even upwards of more than 500 kilowatts. So it would be curious to see if they keep it capped at 500.
Yeah.
Or if they're going to allow more of it for like they said, the 1.2 megawatts for semi.
Yeah, right here, they're showing that 500 kilowatt speed, which would be, that would just be absolutely amazing. I mean, you see that right there. It says 1,302 miles in an hour. You know, yeah. So you can
teach,
you can do the math and kind of figure out what that equates to, you know, and it's not long at all, you know, when you really think about it. So I'm excited about that, especially because, you know, I tend to do some of these longer trips and, you know, do camping trips and things like that, which I'm actually doing this weekend. And so if I can get that charging speed, you know, as short as possible, I'm a happy camper.
Yeah. Especially if you're towing and you're going to be charging more often.
100%. 100%. And I wish I was going to be doing more towing, but, you know, I think I'm really leaning into this overlanding rooftop tent camping. Mm-hmm. So the plan and my logic and reasoning behind that, because even my family was laughing at me. They're going, man, you're going camping this weekend. You're used to going in a trailer, an RV, you know, glamping, and now you're going in a rooftop tent, and, you know, because the concerns are, where are you going to go to the restroom? How are you going to take a shower? You know, like, it's going to be cold out there. But it's part of the fun, in my opinion. But yeah, I, you know, my biggest gripe with towing my trailer was, you know, the lack of, you know, distance. And so once this is all done, it's just going to help. It's going to help the Cybertruck, and it's going to help, you know, eventually other EV manufacturers are going to get on board with this type of the speeds and technology to where other people that are towing are going to have a much easier time doing so. And then speaking of having an easier time towing, something that I'm like super excited about, and this kind of helps me, even though I'm not going to be towing as much, but it still helps because, like, for instance, this weekend, I'm going to go camping, but I want to put my hitch, my bike rack on my hitch and possibly take an e-bike or two. But the concern is I'm not going to fit in supercharging stalls. Well, Tesla has just released the new interface, I guess you can call it, for their infotainment screen, and where you can filter out, or it's going to give you, when you're in trailer mode, it's going to provide and put the trailer friendly supercharging stations up at the top of the list of supercharger locations near you. So that's great. You know, the fact that you're going to be able to find, you know, a supercharging location that's going to be able to accommodate you when you're towing, or even for someone like myself, where if I'm going to have, you know, a bike rack in the back and I'm not going to be able to go into a traditional charging stall, that I can kind of figure that out. Only problem is you have to be in trailer mode based off of the information that I've received. I wish you can like toggle it and do it manually. Maybe that's something that will come out later on, but at least that's there for those that are going to be towing. And once again, make your life much easier.
Yeah. I can see the reasoning behind gating it off when you only really would need it, because that's kind of one of my gripes about the Rivian software, like UI and UX experience, is that the charging network with the navigation is really kind of complicated, because it also opens up, you know, four or five other different networks, but you can filter, but it's not totally clear. So that was like the one thing that when we took the long road trip that I almost didn't exclusively rely on like Rivian's navigation, because it kept wanting to take me to like other networks, and I didn't want that. I only wanted to go through the superchargers, but I ended up using like a better route, that app, and that kind of planned out the rest of the trip for us. So it's like, I'd have the entire trip on better route, and then basically in the navigation in the Rivian, I would just navigate to the next supercharger and just do it that way, which seemed to work out better.
Yeah.
And then we got stuck in a blizzard, so don't take navigation experience from me. So.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to get stuck in a blizzard. But, I mean, hey, you guys made the best out of it. You know, I was actually, I don't know if I would have been, and I don't know, maybe you guys were all, you know, been out of shape. Didn't seem like you guys were, but I would have been a little bit more frustrated.
Yeah. I could tell the frustration was coming from, like, the guys that we were staying around, because they literally just had left to go on a hunting trip up in Colorado, and they're just killing time. Like, they had this whole like week blocked off, and now we'll just like sit and not have hunting time because of the weather.
Yep. Yeah, you, don't do that to those hunters. They're gonna
spend a lot of money too. One guy was like, he had spent like over the last 4 years, he spent $15,000 in just between like land leases and guides.
Wow.
And he still hadn't gotten elk yet.
Oh, really? Holy shit.
Well, good luck.
Poor guy.
Hopefully he got it this time.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully he was able to get out there and get his elk. I don't know if you saw, but there's a little bit of a craze going on. Tesla added some new items to their Tesla shop, and one of them really turned into the Tickle Me Elmo of the holiday season. The Tesla bot or Optimus, you know, action figure, which sells for $40 on the Tesla shop, but as like almost all Tesla items, sold out within minutes. And I think had one restock and sold out within minutes. And that quickly turned into a whole frenzy where people were reselling them online. Mm-hmm. And
I'm looking right now on eBay. There's $300, $500.
Well, how about the crazy one that's right here on eBay for $10,000?
That's crazy.
About 1,000, 600, 450, 259, 200.
It's almost like, it's really like a Tesla Barbie in a way, because the you can kind of see the package as a glass front.
Yeah.
So really, it's just like someone just put up on their shelf, like me. I would just 100% just put it on a shelf. I wouldn't take it out of the box. Just keep it that way.
Yeah, no, I think if there's going to be that type of craze, that you don't take it out of the box.
I thought you were going to talk about the banana, because didn't that pop up as well from SpaceX?
The banana?
Yeah, I thought they had some swag. Yeah, it's bananas. They put up a shirt, I believe, in the store.
Oh, did they? I didn't even see that one.
And they have like a...
too consumed with this bot, this action figure.
That's what I thought you were going to say. They also have like a plush banana.
Oh, now I got to go see that.
Yeah, I can send you the link real quick. So because... The SpaceX launch was this last week as well. So Starship 6 launched. It was overall a success, but not 100%, because apparently on takeoff, it had bent one of the communications towers off of the main launch tower. And I guess they didn't realize that until they were coming back in. But yeah, so they couldn't attempt the chopstick catch. So they basically had it like land softly out in the Gulf. But yeah, the whole thing was that the only payload that was on the Starship was a banana they had like tied with string. So it's like suspended in air in the middle of the Starship.
And I didn't hear any of that.
Gave this away as like a banana for scale to show you how big. That was the whole reason, that because they had like a camera feed inside watching the banana during the launch.
Man.
So you can see how big it is inside.
And
there.
This is for pre-sale, which comes out in March. So, I mean, there's some heavy manufacturing going into this banana.
The little label is like the patch that they made for the launch. If you scroll down, I think they have other. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Starship Flight 6. Yeah, it's bananas.
Hey, I may buy a few of these bananas. But also, there were some more functional items added to the Tesla shop. Let's go ahead and get into that. The Cybertruck crossbars, OEM crossbars. Something that I found interesting was the fact that they mentioned
Foundation series?
Yes. Where non-Foundation series aren't...
Or did they change it?
I don't see it anymore on here.
Yeah, because I mentioned this earlier. I was like, what the heck?
So they originally mentioned how you could only put them on the Foundation series. You could put them everywhere. Non-Foundation, you could only put them in the rear, I believe.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Which I thought was very, very odd, but I don't see that on here anymore. So I'm not sure if there was, maybe that was a typo of some sort, or
there was an update, and I can grab reshare the thread. So. Yeah, because they put it out this week, and then people were like, wait, why is it, you know, on one and not the other?
Yes.
I think, I want to say Wes had had chimed in on X as well after a lot of people were talking about this. And it sounds like that they still have the mounting brackets there, but the Foundation series has the, you know, the closable doors to cover them up. I don't think the non-Foundation is going to have that.
Mm.
And that's the way it sounds.
Yeah, so like you can see here, it shows, it originally said Foundation series, you can mount it on the top 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
But non-Foundation, you can only do it on the rear two. Which is
possibly they could have changed it by now, too.
Well, you're not seeing it now, so I don't know what had changed. So, but nonetheless, if you're in the market for crossbars and you have $800 just laying around that you want to spend, Tesla now has OEM crossbars. There's a lot of third-party crossbars out on the market that work just fine from my experience. So if you want to save a few bucks, you can go ahead and do those. But Tesla has these. Also, this is kind of cool. And for $75, I think it's not a bad deal. Putting these projection lights on the doors. So it gives off an illuminated Cybertruck logo on the floor as you open and close your door, which I think is kind of cool. It gives a nice little effect. I know Mercedes and BMW and some of the luxury brands
review
this as well. And so for $75, I think that's it's a cool little add-on, something that I hadn't even thought about until I seen this. That's another.
I saw someone was talking about this because I got a conversation with someone about how the Rivian makes it OEM to put in those lights. And then someone was saying, like, because they had a term for it. It wasn't OEM, but it was like POEM for like premium OEM. But it's coming from Tesla, but it's not given to you in the vehicle you're buying. You have to buy it extra. I forget what the term they use, but yeah, this is cool. It was much needed that they needed to come out with this.
Yeah, I think it's just a nice little add-on, a little touch. I wanted to get into something. Number one, I wanted to wait till Bill was in chat, and he is. So what's up, Bill? Hey, Mark, Jay, everybody that's in chat. Appreciate you guys as always. But Bill sent me a message on IG, and I'm sorry, Bill, I didn't ignore you. I received your message. I just didn't respond because I figured I wanted to talk about it on the podcast. And so he sent me a message earlier today, and he says that he received his delivery date for a Cybertruck. So immediately when I read that, I was thinking, yeah, congratulations, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Excited for you, happy for you. But he's concerned. He's concerned because of all the inverter issues and then all the other issues that have been happening with the Cybertruck. I know Hugo's has been on the fence as far as ordering and pulling the trigger on his Cybertruck as well because of all these issues. So Bill asks, I know the recall is fixing your issue, but are the other stories just bots or trolls, or is there a super high failure rate with a Cybertruck? Wanted to discuss this. I know we've kind of had these conversations many, many times. Unfortunately, we've had too many of these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
But for someone like Bill, who's a loyal listener and, you know, always comes in and supports us, and we really appreciate him, I figured let's go ahead and answer this, here on the podcast. So, I mean, you got rid of your Cybertruck for different reasons, but you were able to dodge the inverter bullet, so to speak. I just received a message from another friend of mine that's part of our Cybertruck group chat with about, I don't know, 20, 30 Cybertrucks, and his inverter failed on him today. So I'll start off and I'll say this to Bill. If it was me, and I had waited all this time, obviously you haven't been in, like, had this crazy itch to, like, I need it and I need it now, because you've had the patience so far to wait. My advice to you would be just to wait. I would say to wait. Let's see what happens in the next few months. Let's see how Tesla handles all this. I know they put out the recall for 2,400 Cybertrucks. I don't know if it's going to be just 2,400 Cybertrucks.
Yeah.
It seems to be a bigger issue than even Tesla is admitting, because everyone, and I mean everyone that I know that has a Cybertruck, this has happened to. And so it just, I couldn't sit here and tell Bill, pull the trigger, you'll be fine. I don't know that. I don't know if you will be fine. And I wouldn't recommend that, because I know when it happened to me, how frustrated it was for me.
Mm-hmm.
I know the inconvenience it is to have to take it to service, have them work on it. And I'm being honest with you, service even has trouble of trying to figure this all out. I have another friend that took his about 2 weeks ago into service because it happened to him. And it has sat there for 2 weeks. They replaced the inverter, took it for a test drive, and it still was giving them all kinds of errors.
Mm-hmm.
That tells me that Tesla just doesn't know exactly what is going on and how to fix it quickly and be done with it. And I've mentioned it in the past. It's happened twice to me.
Right.
So, unfortunately, Bill, I would just say I would wait if I was you.
Mm-hmm.
Unless if you just want the truck and you're dying to have it and you go, I'm a gambling man and I'll take the risk. Because I also look at it and I go, beyond the inverter issue, there's been other issues. But also the Cybertruck's only going to get better. Mm-hmm. So in 6 months, maybe a year, if you wait that long, you may get just an even better Cybertruck with more options, more features. So that's my advice. What say you, Chase?
I think that's solid. I mean, it depends too. Like, I'd be curious to see if these non-Foundation series that are coming off the lot, like the really high VINs, we're talking about like 40,000-50,000 VINs. If we start to see issues in those, then that will be one thing. But yeah, if you end up getting it and it's still a fairly low VIN, I think you're going to run the possibility you're going to run into this. Now, I guess the good news from all that is we haven't seen any major accidents from this, although it's a risky thing that happens, especially if you're on the highway and it suddenly happens. And someone said it's roughly like $15,000 of, like, you know, repair service time, but they don't charge you anything because it's under warranty. So
yeah,
out of pocket, but a major, you know, inconvenience if it does happen to you. So it's something to keep in mind for sure.
Yeah, he's in chat and he's bummed out and he says he does want it bad. Let me ask you this, Bill, is yours a non-Foundation series or a Foundation series? That would be something that, because Chase kind of hit on that. Mm-hmm. I know that they've ended Foundation series, but I don't know if Bill was still in the queue.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's getting a Foundation series or not. But that would be something that would be interesting, because if it's non-Foundation series, there's, you know, okay. So he's saying a non-Foundation series. So,
okay.
I mean, two great things on that. You're saving $20,000.
Yeah.
To me,
that alone could be worth it. You know,
that could be. Maybe he's also stating that his RAM is kind of his RAM's kind of seen the end of its days. So
also fair,
you know, if you're now with all that information, if you're sitting there going, hey, I need to get a new truck and I want the Cybertruck, it's now non-Foundation series. You never know. You mm-hmm. might be in the clear. You would think at this point, they've known about this issue for quite some time, that they wouldn't be delivering anything. Because what did they say? They discovered what was the factor that making them do the recall. I forget exactly what it was, but maybe hopefully they're sitting there going, okay, they're making sure that whatever's leaving the factory is not going to have that in it to possibly fix this issue.
But the repeat offenders is what it gets me. Like that's concerning. Even when it, like, the conversation, I think either a week, I think it was a week ago, it started happening on X. People were talking about this. A lot of the larger channels, like Gregor Truck and all that, and we're talking about this. And I'm like, but I know Butter, and it happened twice. So let's just not, like, give them the benefit of the doubt just yet, because it could be something larger. I guess the other benefit that buying it right now, you're going to be starting at, you know, mile one, and this really only happens at like 12,000 to 15,000. So you would have, depending on how much you drive, the better part of a year before it would be potentially up for you. And then I would hope by then Tesla has this nailed down, where it's like, if they do fix it, it's fixed for good. But
well, it's funny that you're saying all that, because I would think that you're in chat right now. He's literally stating the same thing. He's saying that he's throwing out the 16,000 mile kind of mark, and he's saying it'll take him a year or more before he gets to that point. So yeah, so it's one of those things as well. It's if from the survey that I've taken, which I haven't done a survey, but from talking to people, it's been about that 11, 12, 13, 14, 15,000 mile mark of when it's happening. I haven't heard of anybody sub 10,000 that it's happened to. I think F the Pump, I think, had about 10,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen to you if you buy the truck and a week later it's happening, at least from my experience and from people that I've talked to. So it's also one of those things too. You can buy it, you have it for a few months, more information comes out, they've really honed in on what the issue is, and they're able to do whatever they need to do to fix that issue, then now they fix it for you, and you're in the clear. But once again, I mean, it's one of those things where all brands, all manufacturers have recalls. It's just, it's frustrating that we're even having this conversation about somebody wanting to buy a vehicle, and it's like they're concerned about this.
Yeah. If anything, the biggest pieces of advice, and this is actually what I did with the Rivian too, buy the gap insurance. Whether it's, I don't think Tesla offers it. If they do, I may have missed it, but definitely get it through your own insurance. It's worth it, because then worst case scenario, this becomes a larger issue, and all of these trucks for the first whatever 50,000 for this whole year are now all lemons because of it, and then the price tanks, and then you wreck it or something, you're going to be out a lot of money that way, especially buying brand new.
100%. So I'm I hope we're able to help Bill. Not sure if we did.
And wrap it.
Yeah, I would wrap it 100%. Well, I had a conversation with the guy today, and he asked me if it was wrapped, and I said, yeah. And I told him, I said, I couldn't even go 24 hours before I wrapped it. But I did mention to him, and it is the truth, I do miss the stainless steel. I do miss, like, whenever I see somebody driving down, and even when they're a little dirty, like, you see the fingerprints and, like, you know, a little, I go, man, that's kind of cool. You know, but I do love my wrap, so I'm not upset about it. But
it'd be interesting to see, like, the percentage of people that wrap it, you know, this coming year versus the first go, because I feel like we got, like, especially when you're the first one in your neighborhood, everyone's like, that's, you know, it sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
Now that it's more common, I don't think the pressure to wrap it is as large as it was, because even for me in our neighborhood, it was like, once I wrapped it, people were like, oh, now I like it.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a way to be like, don't worry, it doesn't look ugly as sin. You can put a wrap on it and make it look good. It's kind of like a proof of point at that point.
I think what I'll probably end up doing is, when I get ready to rewrap it, I'll probably take everything off and then just leave it stainless steel for a month or two just to enjoy it. And then go, okay, all right, it's time. Time to get it rewrapped. So we'll see. So I wanted to get into a bunch of the Kim Kardashian stuff, but I want to save that stuff for Will, because I know that's his girl. So we could do that next week.
You save a little bit of it. The only thing I wanted to tease out is that if you go search for what we're talking about, you might see someone call out that there was a screenshot of the main screen that had like a warning that popped up that says steering wheel buttons and horn unavailable.
I do want to get into
very
that.
Interesting.
I mainly wanted to do the Kim Kardashian thing for Will, so.
Yeah, we'll save the other, the spicy version of it.
Exactly. You know, but we could talk about some of these details. But yeah, 100%. Right here, it's blurry, but you do see that says driverless features disabled. So that kind of makes me feel like, remember, originally, months ago, we were talking about, are they going to have two versions of this robo taxi? Mm-hmm. Are they going to have a drivable one and a non-drivable one. After the event, Elon was very straightforward and said that there's not going to be a drivable one. But saying driverless features disabled, and it says steering wheel, buttons, and horn unavailable. Mm-hmm. Why would it say steering wheel, buttons if there's no steering wheel? Or there's no intent to put a steering wheel?
The only devil's advocate point that I could maybe call out is that they're likely using still the same, obviously the same software as the other Teslas. And then maybe this is like a forked or branched version of the Model 3's, you know, setup, and then they're adding in the full self-driving on top of it. But I that's their best case, but I still want to double down on 11 on this one and say this is the Model 2 or Robotaxi, both all in one. Like, this is the cheap version, the cheap $25,000 Tesla mm-hmm. that we've been all talking about. It just happens to also be a Robotaxi.
Yeah. I always
go to Polymarket.
I always thought they were going to release that Model 2 of 25,000, whatever you want to call it, the new Tesla, the smaller Tesla. And then as we started leading up to the Robotaxi event, I started thinking, well, maybe not. I think they're going all in on this autonomy. Why would they have two versions of the car if they really want to push autonomy? And then they said exactly that. But now with this screenshot and 100% get it, it could just be the software that's on that vehicle because they had to put software in there. And they weren't going to recode it all for, you know, not realizing this was going to come up. But you never know.
Yeah. Or they're planning ahead for regulatory pressure from other states that are going to be like, no, you need a pedal, a steering wheel, and yada yada.
Possibly. Yeah, possibly. It'll be interesting to see. But, you know, it makes good conversation. It makes a topic. So that's great. One thing I want to show, too, talking about Robotaxi, before we wrap this up, wanted to show there was a video that came out that shows a little bit more details on the CyberCab, Robotaxi, whatever you want to call it. And I find it pretty interesting. I mean, right there, the rear trunk. Yeah, the rear, I guess it's a trunk. It's a full trunk.
It'd fit probably like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people in there if you lay them correctly. It's giant. Like, this is way bigger than even the, well, okay, I won't say that. I was going to say way bigger than even the Model Y, like, kind of like seats fold down kind of setup. But still, this is impressive.
It's a lot larger than I thought it was going to be. So the question is going to be, Chase, and I think this is the perfect question for you, is how many bags of golf clubs can we fit back there?
Let's go. At least 5 people and maybe like 8 golf clubs.
Okay.
All right. Golf bags. But yeah, no, 100%. I think that, you know, having deeper luggage space is definitely in their mindset of having like just one large area, because they cover all the bases this way. Like, it's got to be deep for anything you could possibly want to put in there. Because you don't need the extra, you know, row of seats. It's interesting. I don't remember from the event. Was it a bench seat at the event?
No, it was not. Okay. No, it was not. But, you know, one thing I did want to talk about also is the seats themselves. They look nothing like a Tesla.
Right.
They look like a lounge chair that you would put in your home.
Very cheap, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And which probably is on purpose.
The leg room looks fantastic, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's where, like, I know some people will say, like, oh, I remember when, you know, the kids would get put in the back of the station wagon. So who knows? You can only fit 2 adults in the front if there's going to be anybody actually riding in the trunk.
That would be actually interesting. I wonder how they're going to regulate that. Someone just throwing somebody in the back, you know, like, hey, there's 3 of us. We need to get somewhere. We're not going to order 2 of these. Hey, you just jump in the back.
Yeah. I mean, what's going to stop them?
Is there going to be, you know, some type of camera system or sensors that's going to go, hey, there's something back here that's moving, or, you know.
Yeah, because if we learn anything from Waymo, people are going to do dipshit stuff all the time.
Oh, like, 100%.
Like, they're going to do anything you can think of. almost to the point where, like, yeah, they might have to have like an Optimus sitting in one of the seats just to be security for the things for a while. Who knows?
Or put an Optimus in the trunk, and when you open it up, he's like, no, not like, you.
Surprise.
Go up into the front. So, yeah. Well,
it'll be interesting, but I think, yeah, it gives it, yeah, very interesting. I can't. Is there a frunk? Did we figure out?
I don't think
there was.
Yeah, but here, just so everybody, I know we're saving it for Will, but here's.
Can you?
They could put
this?
One of those. They could put one of those. They could put one of those up in there.
Yeah, I'll wait for Will because my question is: was that piloted or was it on its own?
I don't know. We'll see. I was thinking the same thing. Mark in chat says they could put a CO2 sensor with the camera in the back. You know? Yeah. I mean, when they talk about people being able to buy one of these cyber cabs and then just send it out to make you money, passive mm-hmm. income, sounds great in theory, but exactly what you said. I don't know. For the same reason that I never rented out the Cybertruck on Turo, because I was always afraid that some idiot was going to rent mine, knowing my luck, and destroy it. I'd feel the same with the Robotaxi. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. if you're buying it for that purpose, then it's a business. And so you're just sitting there going, okay, well, you know, business, if someone messes it up, it's part of business. But yeah. I'm pretty sure people are going to do some stupid stuff. You know,
yeah,
with these things,
censored with would be a really good idea because that would be a surefire way to know if there's a body back there.
Oh, 100%, 100%,
and a live one.
At yeah, least.
Yeah. People are crazy. Like,
people are crazy. But yeah, like I mentioned, Chase and everybody got to go. I got a meeting mm-hmm. coming up in
short and sweet.
Less than 10 minutes. So. But it was a great podcast. Sorry for the technical difficulties to start. We kind of lost a few minutes there, but appreciate everybody coming back, and we'll see you guys next week. I know it's Thanksgiving week, but as mm-hmm. long as Chase and Will are available, I think we'll still try to get in our Wednesday podcast before Absolutely. Thanksgiving and get Will's thoughts on his girl, Kim K,
100%. And
how she's working at Tesla now, apparently.
On the payroll for sure.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Yo.